I want to say again that I appreciate you coming out and being with us. And when you sing, remember many times you're singing, the Bible said that you'll be judged according to the deeds, to meet the deeds that you have done, whether it's come to church with a contrary spirit, or whether it's come to church with a submissive spirit, or whether it's to half sing or half preach or half whatever it is, you're going to meet the deeds that you've done and be rewarded accordingly. And just taking the zeal and enthusiasm and the glory of God, Tom, that we ought to sing with, knowing that these songs as well as messages and other things go around the world to different people. Now then, I was just thinking, I don't know how many of you heard the radio broadcast last night from Texas. You heard it, John? Some of you did hear it. I heard it too. It come in pretty good, didn't it? For summer, it come in real good. And of course, in the winter, it blasts out a lot louder than that. 12:45 this morning, 15 minutes till 1, the radio program, come on. And I really enjoyed it. It's the first time we've been on XCRF in a long time, and I really enjoyed hearing it. So I listened to I don't know how many others that was real good. And I was just thinking songs and testimonies and preachings going out around the world. Now, the brochure states that they cover many of the countries over in Europe and India. And I've seen letters from Brazil and Russia. And the brochure states that they cover every state in the United States. I've read it carefully to see just what the coverage is. And 100,000 watts now, 250,000 watts, and may go up to 500,000 watts. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for God. I know that 12:45 over here, that seems kind of late, but we'll get a lot of the youth and truck drivers and people that's traveling on the road. I've turned on numbers of times when I'd be out on the road, whip in the middle of the morning and listen to XCRF. And it's an old familiar station that everybody is acquainted with practically. And even over in Grand Cayman, Jamaica, when we was there, they said that they got it over there too and listened to the programs. And so then, knowing that we have stations locally here, we have about five stations, I believe it is, locally here. Well, even if it comes in at 12:45 here, we still, Brother John, cover this area by the other stations. And then that time is excellent. I think probably California would get it probably about 9:45. And then as it went on over to Hawaii or wherever it might go, it'll be about 8 something. And then as it jumps over the time meridians here and gets way over in Russia and the international date line or whatever it has to cross to get to some of those countries, well, it might be on Sunday that they would get it where we get it on Saturday, but they would still get it perhaps in the hours of the morning. I appreciate you that stayed up late enough last night to hear the program. And not that I think you ought to do that, because we're trying to reach you here and them out there. But I appreciate people being concerned enough about their dollar investment in the gospel of Jesus Christ to make sure they come on. That's the thing I was wanting to make sure, that they did put it on. Well, you say, well, sure, they put it on. I don't know. I have seen nights when it didn't come on, you know. So I want to make sure that if we're invested in the work of God, that it's done right. We stood out here in the cold when the ice was there till they drilled that well right there, way up in the middle of the night, John, till they got through drilling. When the well driller stopped, we stopped, and the ice was all over us and them too and everything else. But Zella wanted to make sure that the dollar value was right in what we was doing for God. I think we ought to be concerned. Amen. The Bible said, Brother Grady, a wise man looketh well to his going. Amen. You don't just stumble through the world just any old way. Paul said he's one that beateth the air and just any old thing will do. He knows where he's going. He's watching what he's doing. He's trusting God. The first thing you do is take Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That's the one the builders rejected. You say, Brother Park, what do you mean take Jesus? I've got Jesus. I've heard people say, well, I've got Jesus. Let me tell you something. You may think you have Jesus, but Jesus is the Word of God. When you start building, preach the Word. Amen. That's the cornerstone, is preach the Word. Every bit of it, and not alter any of it. If you alter one thing, then you've been like the builders that left off the cornerstone. You don't have him in your program. But we want him in every jot and tittle, everything that we do. The Word, 100%, amen. That's the way we want it. That's when you're taking the cornerstone. But now if you reject one jot or tittle, you've rejected the cornerstone. Because the Bible said if you offend in one point, you are guilty of all of it. Amen. Everything you're guilty of it if you reject just one thing. So we're taking the cornerstone. Hallelujah. I praise God. That's the first thing, is the foundation, the cornerstone. And then after that, well, God will see to it. Now then, we appreciate you being here, and we love you, and we're trying to do what we can to be honest and sincere with you, to pay our just and honest debts, and to be honest and upright before men that they might not reproach us. For the Bible said, "You shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation." This is a crooked generation and a perverse generation. And I want to take a few minutes this morning to exhort you on some things. I was hoping some others would be here that's not here this morning, because I especially wanted them to hear this. And if I have to get it, I'll repeat it. I figured the devil would keep them out this morning. I said, yeah, about time I go to say it, he'll keep them out. I notice every time God really gives me something to say to the people, the devil keep the very ones out that need it. I notice that. But the thing is, you let them either, you know, get to church real late and they don't hear it, or either you'll keep them out to where they don't hear it, or cause them to leave early to where they don't hear it, or something. But anyway, I want to say this morning. Now, I have tried to be as sincere as I know how to be, and as humble as I know how to be in your presence. Now, I don't say that I'm humble, but I've tried to be humble for your sake. But now, there's some things that I'm going to have to say, folks, and we're going to have to do these things. And one of those things, I noticed that is some of them we've had coming in and out with low-cut dresses. I made this statement the other day, and coming with their miniskirts. Now, I want to just give you a little itemizing here in my heart and mind as to what I feel, and you can judge it. The Bible said, let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, or you do as you want to do. But I want to tell you something. Miniskirts are not welcome on this property. I don't care who's got them on. I don't care if it's the Queen of Sheba. She's not welcome out here if she's going to wear a miniskirt. Now, I make allowance for people to come in here, because I do this. I do this for the sake of humanity and for the sake of souls, to let it go for a while, Brother John. And I don't raise my voice up against it. But I want you to know I got the authority to do it. If I want to, I say I've got the authority to do it. Whether you think I have or not, I still got the authority to do it. I was called to do it. Amen. To execute wrath upon them that do evil. The minister's for your good, but the Bible said, fear if you do those things that are evil, and will you not be afraid for conscience' sake? For he is set there to execute wrath upon them that do evil, for he is God's revenger. He is God's revenger that's set there for this purpose. Amen. And so then, but now, smoking, we have let smoking go on the property and around. We've done this. We've tried to do this for the sake of souls. And we've not had any requirements up until here a few weeks ago. And I asked my Ricky not to smoke on here, and I asked Clayo not to smoke. And I'm asking everybody else not to smoke on the grounds. You are welcome on the grounds, but cigarettes are not welcome. Now, the mini skirts are not welcome on the ground. Bathing suits are not welcome on the ground. Gossip is not welcome on the ground. Fault finding and division is not welcome on the ground. Misleading people to other interests outside of the Word of God is not welcome on the ground. Amen. Now, I want you to understand these things thoroughly, folks. Drinking and cursing and frolicking and joking and jesting is not welcome on these grounds at all, in no phase at all. Amen. I want you to publish this abroad, because I see some's not here that needs to know it this morning. And I want you to personally see. You know, they have what they call deputies. They deputize people with authority. They have the right to do that when things get out of hand. They have the old vigilantes and the posses, you know, of old, and they deputize people. So personally, from God this morning, I want to deputize you as a man, not the women now. The women now, you are under authority of the man, and you have a right to speak according to the rules and regulations of the Bible, to testify of that which is holy and that which is right. But now the men, I personally deputize you to go out and tell these people that this thing is not welcome on the ground. And I ask you in the name of the Lord to use all the wisdom you can, but be as bold as a lion, be as harmless as a dove, and be as wise as a serpent. Now then, I have asked the young ladies not to wear these long dresses without skirts under them, if I have to get old-fashioned and say just what good common sense calls for. Now, I want you to put some clothes underneath, ladies. Now, some of you come to my house, and you're not welcome up there in that kind of condition. You come in my door, and I have to turn my head because I see slap through you. I don't mean just barely, but I see slept through you. If I want to go watch bathing suits, I'll go down to the beach somewhere. But we got out here to get away from those things. You understand? Don't come to my house to no young lady or old lady, whoever you are. Don't come to me like that. Because I'm going to tell you something in the name of the Lord with all sweetness and spirit. I'm going to embarrass you. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And I'm going to tell you to your face if you have an evil spirit and if you have a wrong kind of attitude or the wrong kind of dressing. I'm going to come right to your face and I'm going to tell you. We got a lady coming out here. She's been out here and I've done exhorted her 2 or 3 times. And I think maybe Sister Linda mentioned some things to her and Betty and some of the others. And she's determined that she's going to come in here with mini skirts. I was set for her this morning. That's the reason she's not here. The devil personally seen that she wasn't here. Because Brother Brandon said I had both barrels loaded. I got them good and loaded last night. I didn't got sick of that thing. I'm trying my best to reason and talk with them and try to reach their soul. And then they come in here with them old devilish, ugly, filthy spirits and then want to just push over. I ain't having it in the house of God. Amen. Somebody said, have you got the right to say? You better believe I got the right to say. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ain't having it in the house of God. Amen. You rule your house down there. I'm called to rule this house here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Is that all right? You say, you sound like you're a little angry. Jesus said he got angry because of the hardness of the heart. I am. And I feel angry down here, but I just let go like I am angry. Amen. I'm angry at the devil, and I hate sin with a perfect hatred. I hate evil. So then, folks, we ain't going to have it on the grounds. You understand? Now, I know that I have to kind of work together here and work together there and do everything that I can to try to keep winning souls and try to keep from hurting somebody's feelings and try to do something that's right. But when people wear miniskirts into the house of God, they're not welcome here. They're not welcome here. And when they come on the ground smoking cigarettes, they're not welcome here. And they come drinking and frolicking and lying and cheating and misleading and talking and dividing the congregation and doing all these things. They are not welcome here. Amen. Praise God. Now, that's the only way I know to put it. I said, Dad, I said it sweet and put sugar on it and done everything again. It looked like that don't do no good. Like a man come into my house last night. He said, why can you got no smoking on the door? I said, to try to get people to kind of acknowledge what I'm trying to do. I said, but it don't do much good. So he kind of wanted to rebuke me a little bit for it, so I rebuked him a little bit. And he didn't have no more to say about it. I feel like that we need to do right, folks. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, don't you know that you lose somebody? Lose who? Lose who? Lose somebody with a miniskirt or a bathing suit or a pair of shorts and lose them? Brother, I tell you, the quicker you lose them, the better off you're going to be. You put one rotten apple in the barrel and the first news you know, everybody will be taking liberty. You let one person come around here dividing people and dragging them off and let the wolf come around here and cause them to get a divided mind. The first news you know, you got a divided flock. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I wasn't going to preach, so you sang some choruses for me. But I tell you, anybody with mini skirts on is not welcome here. That's right. Anybody with bathing suits and shorts is not welcome here. Amen. If they ain't got enough love and grace of God to respect what I stand for, I don't want them here. And you say, who are you talking to? Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. Anybody boldly wear a miniskirt into the house of God, something's wrong with them anyway. That's right. And they're not welcome here. I want them to know that openly. They're not welcome here. Amen. Bathing suits and shorts and all this other junk. It's not welcome on these grounds. It's not welcome in my house. I get tired of sitting looking at women's naked legs. Somebody said, don't that stimulate you? Yeah, it sure does. It stimulates me to want to preach hellfire and brimstone to that harlot for sitting around like that. You say, harlot? Yes, harlot. Anybody running around in mini skirts is a harlot. Amen. Praise God, I feel like preaching instead of letting the same horses. I said they're harlots. Amen. Jesus said a sinful and adulterous generation. Amen. They lust after one another here and lust after one another there. And then come and sit in your home half naked. And you tell them you don't want it. Do you think they pay attention to you? Let me tell you something, ladies. Let me tell you something, gentlemen. You that come in here, ladies, with your clothes cut down to here, plucked out here and up here. Brother Pike don't want your filth. Amen. Amen. If I want to pray the whole among them, I'll get off out yonder somewhere and get away from God's people. I won't be low down enough to get in the middle of them and try to do any such filth. I know there's ministers that do that. They get in there and they want a meal ticket or they want to get everything they can out of the people. But I'm telling you, when I see the wolf coming, I'm going to get somebody. Amen. I'm going to get somebody. He said, well, you ought to feel better about it. A man with some helpless little lambs out here and a bunch of wolves come into it, and you think that wouldn't upset him? See a wolf split one of them's throat when the little thing couldn't do nothing, you better believe I'll get him. Amen. I love you, and I love you, and I praise God for you. But folks, we don't want no filth. I want to plead again, one bad apple will rotten all the others. You know, somebody said I didn't have no right the other day. When I went back to a young lady, and she had her dress out up here and had the arms out up here and had a miniskirt on here, and he walked by and it looked like she was standing there without anything on practically. I asked her to go home and put on some more clothes and then come back. I said, young lady, you're welcome. We love you. We appreciate you. But we can't have nothing like that in the house of God. Amen. So then I'm going to tell you, ladies, you hear me now. This is Brother Pike that's talking to you. And I want you to hear me because this is just exactly what God made me, and I can't be nothing else. For many long years, I've tried to ease and butter and do what I can, but it just don't come out like that. I ain't put together like that. Now, but let me tell you something. If you don't believe that I'll come to your face, and if your husband don't believe I'll come to you and tell you that you need to be a man and make your wife put on some clothes and get decent, you just keep on and see if I don't do it. I'll come right straight to you, lady, and tell you, and I'll come right straight. You say, bless God if you do. Bless God if I do. What are you going to do? I'm going to tell you just exactly like it is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You say somebody lose their head like that. A lot of men lost their head for this gospel. A lot of men were stoned to death when Stephen said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always err even as your fathers do by resisting the Holy Ghost, so do you. They stoned them to death because they didn't like that kind of preaching. When Jesus stepped out and said, generation of vipers, he said, why tempt me, you hypocrite? They took him and crucified him. When John said the same thing, what did they do to him? And Paul and Peter and the others. It's the same gospel, folks. God bless your heart. I love you. But that's the same gospel. That's the same gospel. Jesus Christ ain't changed a bit. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying here now. Now, I want you to respect the house of God. And they said that I wasn't in my rights when I told the little girl to go home. I want you to know I was in my rights.
Amen.
I wouldn't even want her in my house up there, let alone the house of God like that. Amen. A lot of times I make allowances and I let people come in my house indecent because I'm trying to watch them, trying to help them reach God. But now when they get to know what's right and what's wrong, then I'm ready to tell them to their face that they ain't welcome here if they can't do right.
Amen.
Now, I have relatives, I have friends, I have neighbors. We had some relatives come the other day. I hadn't seen them in 17 years. I tried to be lenient with them, Daddy, because they don't know what we stand for. Try to talk with them. But let them come back two or three times and they're going to get it. Amen. Just two or three times. Bible said after the first and second admonition, if there be a heretic, reject them. Is that Bible?
Amen.
I'll admonish him one time, I'll admonish him two times, Lonnie, but after that I'm going to reject them.
Amen.
Amen. That's enough.
Amen.
That's enough. So that's what I'm going to do. Praise God. Now let me tell you this as we go on here. I believe that we got some standards to hold up before God. Amen. I believe we've got some standards. Now, it looks like women just ain't got... Now, God help me here. I don't want to say the wrong thing. But it looks to me like women just ain't got enough sense to keep from going naked. It just looks like in the day that we're living in, they ain't got enough good common sense to keep from going naked. Unless some man makes them and look like some of the men ain't got enough good common sense to keep his wife from putting on a negligence show or a striptease act out there before the world. I hate to speak that to you like that, but Paul said, I speak these things to your shame. To your shame. It's shameful. You men that let your wives come to the house of God in that kind of condition, you're in a terrible shape. And I might have said, bless God, I ain't a Christian. You don't have to be a Christian. Good common sense teaches you better than that. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, you sound mighty. Let me tell you, the Bible said, be bold as a lion. You ever hear a lion roar? They tell me when a lion roars that you don't have to have him attack you. You have a heart attack from hearing him. Amen. When God roars, the Bible said, who's going to stand in his way? And I feel like he's doing a little roaring this morning. Amen. He stirred me up like fire in my bones last night. And let me know this morning, son, I want to roar. I'm going to roar. Amen. And glory to God. If God wants to roar, let him roar.
Amen.
I ain't getting in his way at all. Amen. If anybody wants to challenge his roar, you challenge it. Now, a lot of folks say, well, I'm 45, then do what you said, preacher. You know, you got them kind of folks. I don't care what you tell them. They'll say, I'll show you something. I've had someone to do this. Now, you might not never had nobody to do this, but I've had people to despitefully do this. And it got back to me that they was. I'll show them. Walk out there in my bathing suit, my shorts. I walk around in my dress when they can see right through it and ain't got nothing. Mother, Daddy, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Letting your daughter walk around in that kind of condition, or your wife walk around in that kind of condition and call yourself a Christian. You as big a hypocrite as it is to walk on the earth. Amen. To even allow any such thing as that. I'm going to tell you, folks, don't come to my house no more like that. Understand? I'm going to tell you, don't do it no more now. If you do, I'm going to meet you at the door. I'm going to meet you at the door. You say you won't do it. Yes, I will. And somebody come up there yesterday. I almost embarrassed them to their face. I almost did it. I just had to hold myself to keep from doing it. But when they stepped in my door and I looked and I could see all the way through them, I almost said something about it. And the next time, my little lady, I am going to say something about it. Now, if you don't want to get embarrassed, you put you on some clothes. And if you want to play striptease, you go to somebody else's house. And no cumber pies. See, because we don't run no striptease shows around here. Amen. Jesus said, a sinful and an adulterous generation. A layout of sin generation that don't care for nobody, that don't care for nothing, that don't care for no decency, that just don't care for nothing. I've never seen anything like it. It's the bleakest thing I've ever seen. People are getting worse and worse and worse. The more you preach, the worse they get. Somebody say, well, I slip in 50. He'll allow for me. You better believe I ain't going to allow for you. You take your 50 and get on down the hill with it. I ain't want it. Amen. You're 120 and whatever you've got. I don't need it. Amen. God met my need before you ever slipped me 50. If you got some walked up idea like that, you take your little marbles and go home with them. Amen. I don't need them. You say, who are you talking to? Everybody that can hear me. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, this is the only way I know to do it, folks.
Hallelujah.
Somebody thinks preaching the gospel is something you go off, you jack up everything, and you get it outlined. You put it, but preaching the gospel to me is preaching what you are and what you made out of. When I correct my wife, I don't go sit down and she can get everything, you know, programized and go to her. I tell her what my heart is and the way I feel about that thing because she's cutting across me. And when God speaks, He does the same thing.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Now, I just want to let you know how I feel. Seems like somebody's got the wrong idea about me. I don't know who it is or how, but it seems like some folks just don't quite understand what I stand for, no matter how much I tell them or talk to them. Now, you say, wherever point, I'm just going to push on over it. I'm going to warn you this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, Mother, you're going to pick up a dead baby somewhere. Now listen, I warned people before and they picked up dead babies. You're going to pick up a dead baby somewhere. Daddy, you're going to pull yourself out of a wreck somewhere. Mama's going to be bleeding all across them beautiful legs that she thinks she's got and across her beautiful face and all your things. There will be so many scars. She'll be glad to cover it up then. I warn you in the name of Jesus Christ, don't cross the gospel. We're not praying church out here. This is not the Baptist that you can join or the Methodist or the Presbyterian, some Pentecostal formalism. But this is God. Don't cross it, because quickly and shortly God will deal with you. You say He won't do it, you better go check the record, my friend. Talk to some of these people and check the record and see if the record shows where He's dealt with many people. Don't do it. I warn you in the name of the Lord. Don't do it. That's why I love you. Don't resist the gospel, because the Bible says you resist damnation unto yourself, and the minister of God is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. Some people think all the preacher ever is supposed to do, Daddy, is pass out sugar tits on Sunday morning. Amen. But the Bible said that He's to execute wrath upon them that do evil. Amen. To bring the wrath of God on them, that's what He's for. Paul spoke over there to Simon the sorcerer. He brought the wrath of God on him. When he said, thy child of the devil, that preacher looked at him and said, thy child of the devil. You know there's some children of the devil. Paul said, you son of the devil. How long, he said, will you keep on trying to pervert the ways of God? How long will you keep coming against the word of God and against the truth? He said, thou shalt be blind for a season. Ananias and Sapphira, when Peter spoke to him, he said, you think you come out here and talk to a holiness preacher and lie to a holiness preacher? You listen to me this morning. Ain't one of you specialties with God. You get that right out of your mind. The Bible teaches you to walk according to this Bible, and that's what you're going to do if you ever get to heaven, and this means every one of you.
Amen.
Now then, Peter said, Ananias and Sapphira said, you didn't lie to me. He said, you lied to the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, bless God, I won't go back anymore. I got my feelings hurt. I won't go back anymore. They hurt my feelings every time I come. If you was dead, you wouldn't have no feelings to get hurt. And then you just don't want to hear the gospel. That's what it is. You don't want to hear the truth. Because the truth will make you free from them devils that's causing you trouble and everybody else. That's why you don't want to come to this ministry. Jesus said you don't want to come to the light because the Bible said everything that comes to the light is reproved. And you don't want to come to the light because you want the light to shine on your pathway. And the Bible says that this is the condemnation that's coming to the world. That men love darkness rather than light. They love their evil ways and surmises and programs and parties and what have you better than they love the truth of the living God. Don't go tell somebody you can't come because you get your feelings hurt. Now, you ought to be bigger than that. Does somebody have to change your diaper every time you come around? I don't mind changing baby diapers, but when you go to changing grown-ups diapers, that's pretty bad. Amen. Now, if you want to walk right, you can. Let me tell you something. I've sat under preachers all across the country. I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ all the time. Look, let me tell you something, folks. You can't stay away from the house of God. I'm going to tell you men your face this morning. But you can't get the gospel any other way except in the house of God. You say, I get it in literature. I hear it over the radio. I read it in the newspaper. That doesn't replace going to God's house. Amen. You wives that listen to a husband with that kind of junking rot, you ought to rebuke them to their face in the name of the Lord Jesus in love. Amen. The Bible said if your brother trespassed against you, rebuke him. It didn't say who it was. It just said rebuke him. Amen. Some I made a statement the other night. Some of you get religious just about church time. You get religious. Let me tell you something. You better hear me this morning. And just about church time, you got to go to fast. You got to pray. You got to take a trip. You got to study the Bible. Don't you know that's a devil? The Bible said you're holding truth and unrighteousness. You're using the truth to soothe your evil fleshly passions with. You're using God's word for an excuse to stay away from the house of God. You're holding the truth and unrighteousness. And God will set your field on fire. When you take God's word and grab it to keep from going to church, knowing your little wife is sitting there, want to come to the house of God, and you're so backslid you won't come, run over in the background and say, I got a study. God have mercy on your wretched soul. I said, wretched soul. Jesus said, miserable, wretched, naked, and blind. They'll hold God's word in unrighteousness. Somebody said, I'll never come back no more. I'll never come back no more. I'm going to tell you something. This is the blood-stained trail of the martyrs, my neighbor. And if you get to the pearly gates, you'll walk this or you won't go. Somebody said, well, I'll discover it for myself. You've already discovered it. It's too late. Some of you won't come to the house of God because you're afraid Brother Pike will preach a revelation. And you won't be the first one to get to tell it to somebody. Amen. Have you ever thought that you might not never get it? Somebody said, well, they'll be done hearing him preach it. And I, how silly can people get? How foolish can people get? Just like God ain't got enough for everybody. It don't matter whether you're here to hear it or not. The brethren are going to hear it. If they hear the sermon preached, they're going to know it when you get up. Somebody said, but when I get up to preach it, they won't. You don't need to worry about getting up to preach it. You ain't going to have it to preach. You're going to have it to preach. Amen. You're going to have it to preach.
Amen. That's right.
You need to worry about that. When God preaches, send Brother John to preach a sermon, he'll give him a sermon. When he sends Brother Al to preach a sermon, he'll give him a sermon. When he sends me to preach a sermon, Brother Taylor, give me a sermon. Now, what is it? You can come to the house of God if you will do it. Somebody said, well, let me tell you something, brothers. Listen to me, sisters. I want to be as plain as I can. If you don't want to come to the house of God, stay away from God's people. Don't go to somebody's house at church time and sit there and keep them people away from the house of God. It's bad enough for you to be away. Let alone to choose a time like that to go visit him.
Amen.
I tell you, folks, you might as well say amen because this is what the book says anyway. I die with it in my breast because that's the way the Bible teaches it. You are holding the truth and unrighteousness. And the wrath of God is going to come on you. Somebody said, I can live just as good at home. You are a liar. If you want me to tell you a lie to your face, step up here. I said, you are a liar.
Amen.
The Bible doesn't say that. This silly mess about somebody said, I had to pray and see if I could get the leading of God to come to church today. No wonder the Bible said silly women.
Amen.
Silly women. Said we don't mind calling the women silly when the Bible said silly women when they dress and act like they do, do we? But the Bible teaches that you're a woman in the sight of God. Silly women!
Amen.
Gone around half clothed with the word of God, running around spiritually naked. Blind and nurtured. Get a little of the word of God here and a little of the word of God there to use for your own convenience. To try to make yourself a reputation when the Bible says the first thing God does is condemn that. Jesus sought to make of himself more reputation. Glory to God, I tell you one thing. If you want a reputation, you better not pattern after me. You better not preach like I'm preaching because you don't get a reputation this way. I heard the other day, my own cousin, I don't know if it was Robert or whichever one it was. My own cousin called me a hypocrite the other day. Amen. Till my cousin stood over there, somebody told me, didn't say nothing, stood with respect toward us. I said, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I guess the man thought I was crazy. The Bible says when they speak all manner of evil against you falsely. For my name's sake, be exceedingly glad. Leap for joy. Great is your reward in heaven. For so they did this to the prophets. I knew I hadn't done nothing but good to that man. I personally know that. Amen. Tried to be sweet and loving and kind and do everything I could. So it's falsely. I praise God for God taking notice to me. I'm telling you, worthy! Some of you ladies run around in your long dresses and you just can't hardly wait till you get away from the campground so you can get something else to put on you and your children. Already heard rumors about some that might do that. Let me tell you something. You don't deserve the right to wear that dress for Jesus Christ. The Bible said they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer shame as name. Some of these little bobtail dresses that's running around here and these people that's dressing like demons. And that's what they are manifesting themselves. Somebody said, I just won't never wear them long dresses. They said, I just won't never wear them long dresses. No, you won't. You can be sure that you won't because God doesn't count you worthy. He'll prepare your heart like he did Pharaoh to resist everything that's good. Not to see good when it's come and to turn your eyes away to where you'll never wear them because that's the privilege of God. That's the privilege of daughters of Almighty God.
Amen.
You can be sure you won't wear them because he'll prepare your heart to have too much shame, too much pride.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I think you ought to have a little pride or a little pride. Well, then you ought to have a little destruction. Because the Bible said pride goeth before destruction.
Amen.
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 If you want to have a little pride, then include a little destruction. Because you're going to get it whether you want it or not.
Amen.
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 Now, Paul said, I may be rude in speech, but I know what I'm talking about. I'm not rude in knowledge, he said. When you go to ask God, can I come to the house of God? And you go say, can I get the leading to go to the house of God? My brother, you're Balaam if I ever seen one in my life. If I've ever seen a Balaam, when a man asks his God, can he go to God's house? And says, I got to wait till God tells me to give somebody that's in need an offering. You are Balaam if I ever see it. The word of God told you what to do. It said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as some people do. As the manner of some is finding excuses to do everything but come to the house of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, go on, Balaam. If it hurts your feelings, go on, Balaam. If it hurts your ego, go on down. You're going to lose your wife down the road. You're going to lose your loved ones down the road. You're going to lose your integrity down the road. And I won't say lose your ministry. You done lost it. Anybody that don't walk in any more wisdom than that, it don't take them long to lose their ministry. They're not a light anyway. They're a confusion. I said confusion's of the devil. It's confusion. Nobody don't know where you're going, when you're going, how you're going, what you're doing, and nothing else. Your very presence invites confusion when you're in that kind of mind. Amen. Glory to God. Folks, what we need to do is wake up. Wake up. God ain't no toy. God ain't no toy. Wake up and be real people. Asking God if you can come to the house of God. Who ever heard of a thing like that? When he commanded you to go out into the highways and hedges and compel others to come in, and you ain't never even got to grown up enough in God to know whether you can come or not. And you tell me you're ready to lead people? Why, you're not even grown up enough in the Bible to know the Bible. You say, but I've done such and such. That ain't no good. Here's what God wants, his word. He didn't say preach what Brother Pike done. He said preach the word.
Amen.
What I've done ain't going to save nobody.
Amen.
It's faith in the word of God.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, when it gets to the place to where I have to sit there and ask God if I can go to his house, I think that's about time to quit. I started not to come, they said. I have them to come around me like I can understand little old stripling babies doing this. I can understand that. Because they don't know no better. Their mind's over yonder today and back out yonder tomorrow and down yonder. And they shoot marbles, and then about time they get in the marble game, they want to skip rope. And they don't know what to want to do. That's babies. I understand that. Jesus said, feed my lambs. I can do that. I don't understand the other. Somebody come to me and said, I started not to come. I said, you did? Yeah. I don't know if God really came or not. Well, glory to God. God did want you to come.
Amen.
You're so carnal minded you can't hear him.
Amen.
You're so self-willed that God can't tell you nothing.
Amen.
He's already told you to come.
Amen.
You say, how often, Brother Pike? If you've got the nature of Jesus Christ, the Bible said it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible said it was customary with God to be in the house of God every Sabbath morning. How many times does God go to church? The devil goes to church more than some folks. I said the devil's a better church attender than some people. Somebody say, glory to God, that gives me an outlet. If the devil goes, that proves I'm doing right by staying away. I want you to know that God goes to church every time the church doors are open.
Amen.
I said, God is a regular church attender. Somebody said, but what's going on? They said, the thing's going on in the house of God, but God don't go there. I beg your humble pardon. The Bible said that they had made the house of God a den of thieves and a place of money changers, but wasn't the good Lord there?
Amen.
Did he leave it? He said, it's my Father's house.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, bless God, he ain't up at that Episcopal church, if you know. He ain't up at that Presbyterian church. You better believe he is. Somebody said, he ain't over that Baptist church. You better believe he's over there.
Amen.
In the day of the judgment, when they stand there before God, going around half naked in the house of God and doing the filthy things they do in the house of God, they're going to wish that he hadn't been there.
Amen.
But he's there.
Amen.
I said, the Bible said his eyes are throughout the earth beholding the good and the evil.
Amen.
He's running to and fro on the earth, Brother Taylor, showing himself strong for them that's got a perfect heart. Showing himself strong for them that's got a perfect heart. Some of you are so double-minded, the trouble with you, you ain't got a pure heart to begin with. That's right. The Bible said, cleanse your heart and mind, ye double-minded. Your heart's not pure. That's what causes double-mindedness. Is impurities of the heart. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. What was it? He had a pure heart. He said, God, I stumble in some of my ways, but my heart's before you. Oh, it's perfect. Got a lot of folks, they jump up and they say, bless God, I can't come to church and I can't do this and I can't do that. Say, why? Well, I got a perfect heart, but my ways don't please God. You got to die and go to hell and then you'll find out how perfect your heart is. David wasn't talking about no mess like that. David was fasting. David prayed. He tried to praise God, but he still stumbled. He's talking about stumblings. Listen real close. I'm going to find a place to close you in a few minutes. I didn't intend to get started preaching without even reading the scripture or anything. Somebody said, Buster Carr, I got you now. He didn't read the Bible, did you? Ain't that cute? I tell you, if that's all I know about the Bible, it's what's printed on the page. I'd quit. He said, I'll write my laws upon the table of your heart. Amen. You're an epistle that's known and read of all men. You're the word made manifest. That's what you are. Amen. Listen, folks. I want to say this, and I hope it'll do you some good, and I hope you'll hear it. You say, well, bless God, you won't get to preach to me anymore. Well, glory to God. There's one thing about it. Jesus intended for me to preach to you before the world ever was. He wouldn't have had you here this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. He intended for you to hear this or you wouldn't have been here. Amen. Somebody said, well, I won't do it. Well, glory to God. I'll tell you one thing. If you don't do it, you'll wish you had done it. That's right. I said, if you don't do it, you'll wish you had done it when God gets through with you. It ain't my job to decide that. It's just my job to preach to you. And it's his job after that. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And I said the other day, when you come into the knowledge of the truth, then you're in his hands. You're not in his hands before. But when you come to know the truth, now you might have could have stayed with him, church. You might have could have done all these other things. You might have could have run around here half naked. You might have could have run around here with a long tongue of gossip. Some of these other things, and might not know any better, but you're without excuse when you hear the word. When you know the truth, the judgment will be on you then.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this, and I want you to listen real close. Grace is a wonderful thing. Grace is a wonderful thing, my brother and my sister. Grace is a wonderful thing. God has given us grace. He's given all the world grace, Dad. All the world's got grace. He's given it to them. Why? So he would not have to destroy them when they gossip and when they frolic and when they've done these evil things. That's why he gave grace. Did you know just to be stubborn, listen at me, just not to do what I'm telling you is idolatry and witchcraft? How far in hell can a person go for idolatry and witchcraft? Just to be stubborn, just to rebel.
Amen.
Somebody say, well, that's just getting up and telling you, that's not it at all. Just to reserve your own feelings in your heart, that's what stubbornness is, that's what idolatry is. That's what it is. See, God's got to have complete freedom in your heart. Grace. God has given us grace. But folks, listen. He did that to keep from destroying the people. He could never have saved anybody if he hadn't done that. But I could have never lived under the law. I could have. You say, well, I could have. Well, even if you'd have fulfilled the law, you'd have still been struck down. Paul said, I was without fault concerning the law, but the great power of God struck him down to his knees. He still wasn't right with God. He was persecuting the church. See, no flesh is justified by the law if you could keep it. But he gave us grace to keep from destroying us. Keep from destroying us, folks. But listen, where knowledge of good and evil is, there is no more grace. The world today will lose the grace of God shortly. It's already losing the grace of God. Because where there's knowledge of God, there is no grace. Listen to me, will you please? If you are cold, hot or cold, Jesus said. If you are cold, God has to give you grace because you don't know no better. You deserve grace. Because you don't know that you're doing wrong and contrary to the breath of life that's going in and out your nostrils. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I've been into cities, and I'd overrun the stop signs in the cities, Brother Floyd. And then a cop or policeman would come up to me. And he said, didn't you see that sign? I'd say, sir, I'm from out of state, and I never noticed it. He said, well, I'd be all right. He said, being out of state, go ahead. But he wouldn't do to them that to them that was in state. Them that knew the laws, them that were familiar with it. Is that right? Hot or cold? Let me come through there again and let the same policeman stop me and let me say, sir, I didn't know, and see what he does to me. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Now then, grace is running out. Grace is running out. You say, how do you know that, Papa? Because it said in the last days knowledge would increase. Amen. I believe there's one way. I believe remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, my brother and my sister. But it doesn't do any good to baptize a person if their heart's not right with God. John said, meat, fruit, worthy repentance. Don't say you say if you got God. Amen. Pray always you be accounted worthy to escape these things that's coming on the earth. Pray always. What happened down yonder in the land of Egypt? What happened? Brother Donald and I was speaking of these things yesterday. What happened in the land of Egypt? God gave mercy, my friend, didn't he? To Pharaoh and to Pharaoh's people as well as he did to them in the land of Goshen. Is that right? Why? Because they did not know any better. Pharaoh didn't know. His people didn't know. God gave him grace, but when he sent Moses down there with a message and Moses preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, then what happened? Praise God, I'll tell you what happened. He put a dividing line between the land of Goshen and between Egypt over there, didn't he?
Amen.
And the plagues come on Egypt.
Amen.
But they didn't know God's people. The Bible said, these things shall not come now your dwelling. A lot of people say, oh, well, Brother Pike, I see these things coming on the church just like it comes on us. I didn't say on what they call the church. I said on God's people.
Amen.
I said on God's people. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible said he led 600,000 for 40 years. Not one of them was sick among them. Why? He sent his word and freedom from the evil spirits. You know, and broke the yoke. His word healed them. That's what the Bible said. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Faith in the word. Didn't profit the Jews. Didn't have no faith in it, but we got faith in it.
Amen.
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 So he divided Goshen, didn't he, my brother? Didn't he, my sister? And the plagues come on. What's happening to the United States right now and the world, especially to the United States, because they know better. The plagues is coming on them. Cancer, TB, paralysis, heart trouble. Said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Somebody said, God's loving. He wouldn't harm me. He'll tear you into pieces. You meet him and you do wrong, he'll be like a bear that's robbed of his little cubs. He'll tear you into pieces. He'll take a wreck and rip you apart. Don't you add to God's word. Don't you say God said when God didn't say.
Amen.
He said, for I'll reprove you to your face. My word is not altered. My word is not changed. He said, preach the word. He that God sendeth will preach the word. He'll speak what God said.
Amen.
He'll not testify of himself and what he wants to do. Is that Bible? Cancer, TB, paralysis, insanity, wrecks in the airways, kidnapping, hijacking, drownings, and brother, on and on, Jordan is overflowing its banks. It must be harvest time. What is it? It's because God is putting a dividing line. That's why God is getting little places like this little strip of land that we've got out of here. Out here. Somebody said, Brother Pike, are you narrow-minded enough to believe this is Canaan? My dear brother, anywhere God is, it's 10 times better than Canaan. I said, wherever God is, it's better than Canaan land. You can go over into Canaan land right now. It's still over there. You'll find some briars, but you won't find it where God's at. Amen, it's a lot better than that. And if that's all it compared to was Canaan land, I just quit. If that's the only hope I had. Them Jews went into Canaan land and still wandered about and was killed and driven out and everything else. That's right. I want to go into the land Moses went into.
Amen,
in the spirit. Now that's why God is getting these little places to draw his people out of her. Come out of her, my people. I'm not talking about the church. I said God's people. I know these things is happening on the church, but my brother, it's supposed to happen on those people. Them people know better. It'll happen on them before it will happen to the world. Why? Because Jesus said the church age of this age is lukewarm. Lukewarm. Not hot, not cold. Don't deserve grace for serving God or being ignorant of God. But lukewarm. He said the tables are full of vomit. Spew ye out of my mouth. That's vomit. Isn't that right? All the tables of God are full of vomit. Isn't it what he said? Spew you out of my mouth. You call yourself a Christian. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Don't add to my word. A prophet prophesied something presumptuously and said that prophet shall die. Brother, when you say, yea, thus saith the Lord has said, howbeit when the Lord is not spoken, amen. Be wordless, I cut you in sunder. Somebody said, how long does it take? I tell you what, you can measure that better than anybody else when it happens, and then you'll know just exactly. I've been along the trail, and I know what he'll do to you. I know what he'll do to you. Now then, grace is running out. And I hope this will stick with you as long as you live, folks. Grace is running out. The knowledge of sin is in the world. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. Knowledge. This is the condemnation Jesus said upon the world. That light, understanding, the word of God, hath come into the world, into your hearts, into your minds. And the Bible said the condemnation is that men love the things of the world better. They love frolic. They're lovers of pleasure. They love ideology. They love to do what they're doing. They love darkness rather than light. That is the condemnation that God will bring upon them. That'll be what they'll be judged for. That when they heard the truth, they loved not the truth. God turned them over to their own ways, which is a reprobate mind, to dishonor their bodies between each other. Did you know it's a dishonor to a woman to go around half naked? Did you know she's in a reprobate mind when she does that? She's dishonoring the temple of God. And God said he'd destroy it. Somebody said, you embarrass me. Well, you embarrass me too. You say, when you preach like that, you embarrass me. Somebody said, you embarrass me and my wife. My neighbor, brother, sister, whatever you are, when you come to my home half naked and come to the house of God half naked, you embarrass me. You embarrass God. You need embarrassment. You need more than that. But we'll let it go for that right now. Because you'll get more on that later. Dishonoring their bodies between each other. Wearing form-fitting clothes so tight that it's pitiful. Some of you ladies go around and I may not say it like that. My wife wouldn't like it. Your husband wouldn't like it. That's right. I may not say it like that. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't think God would mind it personally. But for your sakes, I withhold the statement I started to make. But I'm going to tell you, you go down to the dime store or the 15-cent store or whatever the store is, and you can't be satisfied with the way God makes you. You've got to get some foam rubber mattress out there somewhere to get around you. That's right. Foam rubber is supposed to go in the bed you sleep on or somewhere else. You're not supposed to walk around with it poked up under your clothes. It's not made for that. Somebody said that I want to look good. You devil, you sure do. You want everybody to look good at you too. Some of you men need to know what your wife's wearing underneath as well as outside. You need to do some checking up. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't. I would. I'd burn that mess up. I get upset when I catch it. I don't want my wife being a whore. I don't want her to be the great whore. The Bible said the great whore that set upon many waters, and that's what this generation is the great whore. I said they're the great whore, a sinful, adulterous generation. Young women is so protruding, they just walk right up in the face of a man and say, oh, Brother John D., shame on you. The Bible said you're to have meekness and temperance. Shamefacedness will survive him. Somebody said, John, I like the way you're doing things. Let me tell you something. young women and old women or any kind of women don't need to be with men unless it's out in public places, unless their husband is there or there's some things there, somebody that is supposed to be there according to the word of God. And when I say that, I don't mean just Jesus, as somebody says. We need cleanliness.
Amen.
We need cleanliness. Grace is running out. Why? Because knowledge has come into the world. Knowledge has increased. There's a great falling away, Brother John, because men have knowledge. Men have knowledge, Brother Taylor. There's a great falling away. You have the knowledge. That means the judgments of God is going to be poured out on America. I mean, it's going to be poured out on the wholesale basis. It's going to be poured out on all of the world that comes to the knowledge of God. Grace is running out. There won't be any grace. Now, I'm going to say this and try to close. Just listen just a few more minutes, and I'm going to close here. Grace is running out. You understand what I'm saying? Grace is running out. Now, I don't like to hear one of them preachers that says, I'm going to close. He takes another 15, another 20, another 30. I try not to do that. I try not to lie to you. If I say I'm going to close out, I try to close. A lot of folks, they use that so they can preach another hour. That's wrong. That's lying, even in the pulpit. But let me tell you something. Grace is running out. You understand what I'm saying? Grace is running out, folks. It's running out because there is a knowledge of truth. You say, Brother Pine, can you prove that God is going to pour out his wrath because grace is gone? I certainly can. Did you know that in the millennium, which is the 1,000 years reign according to the Bible, which is the only truth, thus saith the Lord in the earth, the word of God? Did you know that the Bible said that God will make them people come up there and fall down before his throne? Somebody said, now God doesn't make anybody do anything. I don't know where you've been going to church, and I don't know what philosophy teacher ever taught you that. But I'll tell you something, you're just as mixed up as you can be. The Bible said every knee is going to bow.
Amen.
And every tongue is going to confess. I don't care whether you're a sinner or a saint, murderer or a liar, cheat, robber, whoremonger, whatever you are. God said you're going to kneel before his throne.
Amen.
And out in the millennium, my friend, the Bible said that God will make them come and kneel at your feet. Know that he's loved you. Respect what you stand for. The nations. Brother Zell, the nations. He said if they don't come, they won't eat. I won't even give them any rain from heaven. The rain, Brother Taylor, is on the just and the unjust right now. America, it's on the just and the unjust right now. You understand what I'm saying? It's on the just and the unjust. The rain comes down. The blessings come down. The health comes down. The happiness comes down. But when knowledge of wrong comes, then it's held back. It don't come anymore. And in the millennium, it's going to be the knowledge of God just like it is here in the end time. And God won't even give them bread unless they serve him. Did you know you serve the law one way or another? How many of you ever heard me say this? You either serve the law to your own benefits by obeying it, or you serve it to your own hurt by being in prison and having him walk around with a gun over you. But you don't serve it one way or another. God's ordained it. All right. So then grace is running out. Do you see that? That means the wrath of God's beginning to come. God's trying to get his people from out from among the world. That's the reason Brother David Terrell was screaming, get out of Atlanta! Get out of New York! Get out of these other places! I don't know how much he knows about what he's doing. It's not for me to say. But he must feel the same thing that God's revealed to me and let me know. Because according to the revelation of Jesus Christ, God is drawing his people into a group, into an army of Joel, into one doctrine, into one mind, into one endeavor and effort. And maybe that's what he meant and just didn't know how to say it any other way. But I'll tell you one thing. You better get away from evil. You better get away from sin. You better get away from corruption because God's fixing to hit Pharaoh and his people. He's already hitting them. But the more the word of God gets plainer on radio and television, in the newspaper, did you know people that don't even love God, that don't care nothing about God, are sitting and watch Billy Graham on television? Did you know that? And they know as much about Billy Graham, it's living contrary to the word of God. still has to do like Balaam. He still preaches the word of God. You say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. Those uptown fellas still do it. I know they got insertions and they got alterations and they got changes. Paul said they preach it for contention and otherwise and different things to cause me hurt. But nevertheless, he said, the gospel is preaching here and I rejoice.
Amen.
The world is guilty before God, my brother. All right. Now then, I'm going to show you that the world's guilty. And I'm going to quit with this. The world is guilty before God. In the garden, Adam and Eve sinned when they come to the knowledge of the truth. It was cut out. Isn't that right? Is that Bible, brothers, sisters? Is that Bible? Was driven out of the garden, wasn't it? It started with corruption and with the woman. Isn't that right? Is that right? Is it any strange thing it should end with the woman? Is that right? It started with the lust of the flesh. The five senses and human sensations. Perversion of mind and of faith. Beautiful Eve, and she was beautiful. The perfect woman. That's right. Adam was the perfect specimen of a man. It started there. From beautiful Eve. And where has it come to? Belly's rotten with cancer. And all the filth. Everything preachers has tried to tell them the doctors have discovered. They've discovered. We mentioned cigarettes yesterday, and what is the latest cigarette? Have you seen it? With the flowers on front of it? Eve, or supposedly Eve, with her head popped up out of the bushes, half nude up here. And they say, smoke pretty Eves. If anybody didn't know it was wrong to smoke after that, you ought to know it's wrong to smoke. But it's contrary to God. To think that they put any such thing on a cigarette pack. Beautiful cigarette pack. Don't smoke uglies anymore. Smoke pretty Eve. What is it? From pretty Eve in the garden, when you think of smoke, you think of the bottomless pit to the bottomless pit. That's what it means. And what is it? The devil camouflaged everything and kept his people just where he wanted to keep the people. Kept them blinded until he got the world around them. And then what did he do? He took the veil off, didn't he? And then he stepped right out there with them. He says, here's some Eve cigarettes. We know that we're in the slop hole, he said. Let's just all slop around together in the pig pen in the mire. You know why he did that? He had done all he could by keeping it undercover, my friend. He couldn't hurt you anymore because people have done seen it. It's become an expose. They have done begin to perceive it. So he knows he can't do no more good like that. His next best move is to just open and expose himself and show the people how rotten they've got to kill what little faith they might have remaining so he'll have a sure hold on them. He knows they can't get away from him anyway. Grace is coming to a close, my brother. We sang the song, to meet the deeds that I have done. Let's stand together. Now, you say, Brother Pike, you've hurt my feelings this morning. And you've upset me. Let me tell you something, brother and sister, neighbor, friend. If a man never did come against your frame of mind, where in the world would you be? I saw some of you in visions going into a wilderness, about to get lost. And to get you turned around, I had to scream at you. And I finally got you stopped. And up ahead, a big chasm opened wide. If your wife, if you don't allow her, some men, you know, they won't allow the wife to tell them anything. Shut up, I'm Lord. Shut up, silence, don't speak. This is some men, you know. You can't tell them nothing, and the wife can't tell them nothing because they don't never give her a chance. I'm the big deal. I feel like preaching all over again. I better stop. I promise to stop. But let me tell you something, folks. Listen. You know, I will say that she is a human being in case you never stop considering. She's a human being just like you are. She's a daughter of the Lord if she's a Christian. And if she's not, she's still the creation of God. Even if she's a sinner. God will destroy them and destroy the earth. Bombings and all these other things and all these diseases and you rising up against her and your children. These things, he'll draw in his judgment. But I want to leave this thought with you. If your wife can't say anything to help you turn around and see your blindness, and you don't allow your children to, then there ain't nobody left but the preacher. If the brethren ain't got enough boldness, if you get somebody so convinced that you're some kind of super duper something that nobody ain't supposed to even speak to anymore, well, who in the world is going to help you? I'll tell you one thing, you might be super duper, but you better not get close to me, because I'm going to do some super duper with the Word of God and tell you just exactly where you stand, my brother. You say, bless God, you'll be in the grave. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll die happy. Amen. If I know I told you straight about the Word of God, you can say one thing. That old fellow went out happy, that old bald-headed preacher laid down in the grave happy because he spoke what he believed. I don't never want nobody to get the idea that I'm some kind of something that they can't come and tell me something. Paul went to Peter, and he had the keys to the kingdom. Amen. If you have a controversy with me, you come to me. But don't come to me with your ideology and what you feel about it. Come to me with the Word of God. Amen. Now, praise God. If you won't let your wife tell you, and you won't let your brother tell you, you won't let your neighbor tell you, there ain't nobody left to tell you but the preacher. And if you get so warped up in your mind that you won't listen to him, and you're going to run off from him every time he hurts your feelings or do something wrong, then there ain't nobody to tell you. God will turn you over to reprobate mind, and then you're finished. Because you're going to believe you're right. You're going to believe you're right. And ain't nobody going to be able to tell you nothing. And you're going headlong into the abyss or the pits of hell because you won't listen. The Bible said, reprove a wise man and you'll hurt his feelings. Is that what it said? He'll run off and say, I can't stand it. Is that what he? I can't go back. They mistreated me. The Bible said, reprove a wise man and he'll love you. Reprove a fool, and the Bible said they'll get together over at somebody's house and have a coffee party. He'll be the subject. A fool, I said. A fool. The Bible said, a fool. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. You tell a wise man wrong, and he'll hate you. But you tell him right, and my brother, sister, he'll love you. Now, it might hurt his feelings, and he might not have thought of it like that, and he might not have been doing it like that, and he might not have seen it like that, but I'll tell you what, it ain't a matter of what you see and what you believe and what you understand, it's a matter of what God said about it. He didn't ask you what you thought about it, or the way you seen it, or how you felt about it. He told you how it had to be according to God's Word. See, and you rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. He'll love you. He might not have seen it like that, but he'll sure love you. But one of them old fools, as the Bible calls him, he'll come around with a huffed and a puffed up, and you can't get along with him for a week. Or he might cover it up to be religious, but down inside he can't get rid of it. But when the wrath of God comes, he won't find it so hard to get rid of it, folks. I said when pain and sorrow and heartaches come around, you won't find it so hard to get rid of. When that fellow Paul broke his leg the other day and he come out back out here, he didn't find it too hard to talk about Jesus. He did before. He come back with his wife up yonder expecting to have a child. And she can't deliver. And she's in the delivery room and that's misery. He found it convenient to talk about Jesus in one little prayer. I expect the mother did too. I said, I expect the mother did too. God's got ways of doing things. You say, but when the pain's gone, I'll do like I want to. Yeah, well, it'll come back. I said, it'll come back. So then if nobody can tell you, friend, well, who can help you? Who can help you? If I rebuke you, I expect you to be wise men and repent. Because I'm telling you the word of the Lord. I'm telling you, you say, but you didn't tell me the way I wanted you to tell me. Well, that's between me and God. If I didn't do it the way he was satisfied, then he'll let me know about it and punish me. Isn't that right? Paul said, brother, for contention, you believe him because you're preaching the gospel. Don't do like they do like they say. Is that right? He still respected the gospel, do like they say. Is that right? Don't get your feeling on your shoulder and leave. Do like they say. Regardless, do like they say. Now, so if I rebuke his wise men, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. There just ain't no pigeonholes, is there? Everybody looking for a pigeonhole, trying to quote the scripture, holding it in unrighteousness, truth and unrighteousness to make a way for their errors. But there ain't no pigeonholes. It's a straight shot. Straight gate. Narrow. So then as we stand here in the presence of God, I call you to record this day. This day as a memorial in your heart and mind. I told you the truth. And if you resist it, preacher, if you resist it, you're going to have trouble with God. Laity, if you resist it, woman, man, sinner, boy, girl, if you resist it, you're going to have trouble with God. I call you to record this day that I've told you the truth. And your blood's off of my hands. I told you. And you can do what you want to with it. But I told you. And from here on out, it's going to be you and Jesus. Grace is running out. We're at the end of the trail. Now, I want to say this so that people that are listening out there won't be confused and they'll understand. These are messages that we preach right here under the tent. I believe we ought to live right, folks. Hallelujah. Praise God. If anybody last night heard the program, well, I'm glad that you stayed awake to hear it. And if not, then some of you can hear it at 12:45. We heard it last night from out of Texas. And today on Winder and other stations, wherever they're at. Now let's pray that God will increase the outreach for souls. How many of you want to reach souls? Folks, we got to reach souls. That's all it is to meet the deeds, brother, greater that we have done. We've got to win souls. He that winneth souls is wise. We've got to win souls. Let's invest our money, our efforts, our time, our prayers in the work of God. Let's do that. I want to take the trip around the world pretty soon, if the Lord be willing. And I know that many of you are going to have a party in it. I know that. You've already let me know that you're going to have a party in it. And though we don't ask for any offerings or anything like that, you know we don't take any personal offerings, but you that want to have a party in it, I appreciate it from my heart. I really do. I appreciate it. One came to me yesterday and said, are you ready to go? I believe in many get the money right then. I believe in many get the money right then. But we will be ready. So let's pray. We'll get the church on, the top on the church and get everything finished up. Hallelujah. If you love the Lord, just lift your hands up right now. Let's praise God as we dismiss here. Father, we're thankful for this congregation of people, for this gathering. Lord, for these things that we've had a privilege and a chance here to say and exalt the people with. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' loving name, may every brother, father, and every person, Lord, not only here but throughout America and throughout the world, God, take these things to heart because grace in this great world is running out and we're coming to the judgment. Oh, hallelujah. Father, knowing that you can't give grace anymore, for there's a knowledge of sin, Lord, willful sin. Hebrews 6, Lord, you set a fearful looking for of a judgment, a fire indignation to devour the adversary. No forgiveness of willful transgression. Help us, God, to remember. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Shake hands with somebody. Come back. Tell them you love them.